I was just about. No, not really. I was probably gonna scroll Facebook videos for a half hour, but I came across some more videos from the ostrich farm in Edgewood, BC, and I just wanted to point something out for everyone who's paying attention to this. Actually, if you're not paying attention to this, I'll point it out for you too and encourage you to pay attention. Right now, what Katie and her family are going through in trying to stand up against the government is very, very similar to what happened to me and to others when we stood up for ourselves. Mind you, it was in a different it was a different scenario. Mine was with my restaurant, and Katie and her family is with her farm. What's happening to Katie is the government is saying something is necessary. Katie disagrees, her family disagrees, and actually probably millions of people disagree as well. And they're trying to tell the government that they don't want to do this and it's not necessary. They have expert witnesses available to talk about this and help them plead their case, and the government isn't listening. Actually, it's not even the government that's not listening, it's the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. So the CFIA has been granted some very, very sweeping and alarming powers through an act of parliament. There's a law that gives the CFIA the what do we call it, the ability to do what they're doing. In my case, it was Alberta Health Services. There was a piece of legislation that gave Alberta Health Services the ability to do what they did to me. At one point, as I was walking around the perimeter of my restaurant, I said to the environmental public health officer, I said, "What authority do you have to take my building? You don't have the authority to do this." And he said, "I have all the authority." Same thing that the CFIA is doing. Everyone there is like, "How can you do this? You can't just take someone's property, quarantine hundreds of acres of land for no reason, no testing, no science, no nothing behind it. You can't do this. What authority do you have to do this?" And they'll simply reply with, "We have all the authority." Now, both of those outfits, they really have no teeth to enforce their authority. So they always bring the goons with them. They bring the RCMP with them. Sometimes the RCMP are perfectly happy to help. Sometimes they don't want to, but they do it anyway. And do you know why they do it anyway? Do you know why the RCMP are always siding with Alberta Health Services or the CFIA or whichever other extra governmental bureaucracy is doing their tyranny that day? It's their job. The RCMP are not there for you and me. They'll help us for sure. They'll maybe show up a couple hours after someone breaks into our house and murders us to help us out, carry the bodies out. But, that's not their job. Their job is to protect the corporation. Their job is to protect the crown. The oath that an RCMP officer swears is an oath to the crown and to uphold the Constitution, to uphold the law. Doesn't say anything about you and me. So if a government organization comes to your property and says they want to take your house, or your car, or your children, or your pets, or you, and you disagree with that, you have no remedy. Your remedy is to go to court after the fact, after the damage has been done already. The idea that we can get police to just say, "Oh, we're not going to do this because it's not the right thing to do." You're talking about people that swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, which is the supreme law of Canada, and they swear an oath to the Crown, the executive branch of government. You see where I'm going with this? It's not just the CFIA or Alberta Health Services. There's others as well that have these kind of sweeping powers. Our Constitution, Section 1 of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms says, in layman's terms, it says you have these rights unless it's demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. So what they're saying is you have these rights except when we say that you can't have them because it's justified. Now, in Katie's case, the CFIA is saying it's justified to do what they're doing. It's justified to slaughter 400 perfectly healthy ostriches and terrorize a family because bird flu. Well, what about bird flu? What is the risk? Well, there could be an infection. Sure. Let's look at this from a different perspective. Just recently, Katie describes her arrest where the CFIA was wearing hazmat suits and all sorts of things and this and that. She also describes a number of failures in quarantine protocol that they did. For instance, they, you know, without washing or anything, they took off their suits and handed them their personal cell phones to call their lawyers. Well, Katie and her mom had, in their words, not mine, ostrich poop on them still. So if there was something wrong, it's all over them. These guys are giving them their phones. They're passing equipment back and forth without proper protocol. And that kind of makes you wonder, why are they wearing the suits? Why were they wearing the masks in my restaurant? Why were they wearing the face shields and rubber gloves and masks and all these things during COVID? Why are they wearing these hazmat suits if it's very obvious there's no risk of infection? It's to make you feel something. It's to make you fearful. It's so that when the news catches a picture of this, they see these guys dressed in these biohazard suits because it's so dangerous what they're doing. They're saving you from the danger that you think is there because you see that suit. Or they're saving you, Alberta, from the restaurant who's giving everybody COVID. You can tell because they're wearing masks. It must be so dangerous. It's all a bunch of bullshit. That part of the Charter Rights of Freedoms, that Section 1 part that nobody really likes anymore, especially people like me and people like Katie and people like Art Pawlowski and James Coates and all these people that have been subjected to the whims of the government, we don't like it because it's supposed to be that the government has to prove what they're doing before they do it. Well, Katie and her family have been to court a number of times, and the court won't even look at the evidence. Do you know why? Because the court will say, we're not experts. We're going to defer to the experts. And in this case, the CFIA is the expert. Well, okay. If you're going to defer to the expert, and the expert is the person that we the people, are arguing with, what does that leave us? I had a number of expert witnesses, virologists, immunologists, vaccine manufacturers, legal scholars, all sorts of people that were willing to testify on my behalf to tell the court that what the government was doing was completely wrong, I was in the right, and the government shouldn't have been doing what they did. Now, it's funny how that's all coming out now, and the government still hasn't apologized to me or you, but that's a different story. The courts don't even listen. In those cases, the court said, well, we're going to defer to the expert in this matter because we're not scientists and you can't expect us to listen to all this testimony and judge based on the science and the facts because we're not scientists. Do you know who they deferred to? The CMOH, Dina Hinshaw, the COVID mandate buffet princess. And in Katie's case, they're deferring to the CFIA. Oh, the CFIA says so, so it must be so. No, it's not so. It is not. It absolutely is not. What's happening right now at that farm with the stamp out policy that the CFIA has for animal sickness, which, by the way, has culled 8.7 million poultry, birds, chickens in British Columbia since 2020. 8.7 million. Why are your eggs so expensive? 8.7 million. Why is chicken so expensive? 8.7 million. Why are we having trouble with food prices? 8.7 million. That policy did not come from Canada. That was not something that you or me or any Canadian scholars decided was a good idea that they were, we were going to have implement on our farms. We didn't tell our MPs, hey, MPs, can you make this law that puts this policy in place so that we can be so safe? We didn't ask for that. Do you know where that came from? That came from a globalist organization that we didn't elect, who are not accountable to us, and who don't give a shit about us. As a matter of fact, it's the same organization that's pursuing some of the things that are taking us down an anti-human path and really screwing a lot of things up. All those things that are on the United Nations list of unsustainable things, privately owned farms are one of those things. In addition to, you know, culture, whiteness, personal property, and amongst other things. That organization came up with this idea that if a chicken sneezes, you kill all of them. We have been eating chickens that sneezed for thousands and thousands of years. We have been living in a world where a chicken gets sick, a flock gets sick, the strongest survive, they pass on that ability to deal with that particular illness to their children, and we get along just fine. And in some cases, we end up with the flu, and then we get sick and we're miserable for a week or two. What they're doing now is messing with nature. If a flock has a sick bird and that farmer's neighbor phones and says, hey, I saw this chicken sneeze. This chicken has a runny nose. This chicken's running around and using Kleenex all day. I think the flock is sick. I think they have bird flu. You better come get them. The CFIA can, under suspicion, go in there and do whatever they want. They can search your farm. They can kick you off your farm. They can make you kill your birds. They can kill your birds themselves. Whatever they want. All of them. They don't have to test them. In this case, at the ostrich farm, the ostriches had not been tested. When the flock got sick 250 or 60 days ago or whatever, a couple of them died. One was tested. Yeah, it had bird flu. The whole flock has to die. That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my life, except for the safe and effective argument. To murder the birds that survived and built natural immunity to that sickness, I'm just a hamburger flipper. And I know that the stronger animals surviving benefits everything. I'm sure you can probably figure that out too. So we kill the birds, whether they're sick or not, even the ones that have developed resistance. Now that virus does what viruses have been doing for thousands of years, and it mutates because it wants to continue living. It wants to continue reproducing and infecting. That's what it is. Well, the virus might get a little bit worse. And now, instead of infecting a bird that has a little bit of resistance because its immune system recognizes that virus to some extent and can prepare to deal with it, it doesn't have any idea. You see where I'm going with this? This is going to be a really big problem. This is not just a property rights thing. This is not just a, you know, humane treatment of animals. This is a literally the Canadian government is messing with nature. It's anti-science, and it's not something we asked for. And it just so happens that Katie and her family at that farm had enough balls to actually go public and let people know what's going on. And some of the news is trying to vilify her. The government's trying to make them look like kooks and convince their neighbors that they're dangerous, just like they did to me. And Katie's not backing down. Her and her mom sat in that pen and made them arrest them. Like, no, we're not going to just allow you to do this. No, AHS, I'm not going to just allow you to do this. If you want to tyrannize me like this, if you want to strip my rights away for something stupid like this, show the world that you're willing to arrest me. And this doesn't just stop with me and my restaurant, or Katie and her farm, or Art and his church. This is any one of you, any one of you can find yourself on the other side of this. There's people out there that absolutely hate me for my position on the with the COVID mandates. Some of them have publicly said that they think that I should be shot for my views. Someday that person is going to feel this too. So I would suggest that people start paying attention, because this isn't going to get better unless we do something about it. Now, the unfortunate part here is that in order to fix these things, it's a political solution, because it'd be an act of parliament that changes this. Now, Alberta, BC, and Saskatchewan, let's all get together and encourage all of our MPs to stand up in parliament and get a law passed. Wrong. Can't happen. Do you know why? Because the policy's made in the East. Oh, Chris, we'll just change the Constitution so that the government can't do this to us anymore. That's great. That's a great idea. Let's do it. Can we do it? Yeah, sure. Wrong. No, we can't. The hurdles to open and amend or change the Constitution are so high, it is virtually impossible. The only way that a Canadian can get out from underneath a constitution that is not beneficial to us, that only protects our government and doesn't help us when we find ourselves offside from bonehead government policy, is to simply get out. There is no other path. Alberta's doing it. We're going to do it. It's inevitable. We're going to fix this for ourselves here. I'm hoping British Columbia can do it. It's not an easy fix. It's not something to be taken lightly, and it's not quick. But it's the only plausible and probable way to prevent this from happening in the future, and it's going to happen more. 20 years ago, you wouldn't have dreamed that these things would be happening. Maybe even 15 years ago, 10 years ago, if somebody told you, hey, the government's going to shut all the churches down, going to keep kids from going to school, they're going to lock elderly people in their rooms, in their elderly people homes, their long-term care homes, and they're going to tell people that they need to socially distance themselves. Oh, and then they're going to get their neighbors to rat on neighbors through a snitch line. Oh, and by the way, they're also going to tell you that you have to stick something in your arm that could be dangerous in order to fully participate in society. Ah, right. And also, please, if you don't mind, you're going to have to show papers to sit down in a restaurant and drink a coffee. Would you have believed any of those things? Me neither. And yet here we are. So I say, it's probably time we do something. We can't continue on this path. The trajectory we're on right now, it's not leading to somewhere good, but we can fix that. We don't have to keep going that way. Anyhow, somebody pointed out that Katie and her mom were told by the CFIA or somebody that they could go in and feed the animals. And then they ask them to come out and charge them with obstruction and some other things, like just ridiculous things. And that's the thing. Like, people are like, oh yeah, the police are being so nice, and you know, they're helping and telling us these things. Wrong. They're engaging in psychological warfare with you. That's what they're doing. They're trying to convince you to let your guard down and just walk away so that the CFAA can do whatever they want. That's their shtick. That's what they want from you. They want you to just turn your eyes and stop paying attention. Pretend everything's going to be okay, and then it's over and done with, and you know who will be accountable for that? Nobody. Nobody. I see rumors online about a class action lawsuit. Okay, it's going to take 10 years, suing these bastards for what they've been doing to farmers. It's not just Katie and the ostrich farm. 8.7 million birds in BC since 2020. I don't know what the number is in Alberta, but it's a high number. And we didn't do that before. Do you know how much money that cost? Do you know how much money it costs the taxpayer to do that? Speaking of money, in this particular situation where there's a flock of ostriches that are passing on antibodies in their eggs, basically making like little natural vaccine kind of things, who benefits financially from destroying those birds? Is it you and me that benefit? Or is it the pharmaceutical companies who are selling us drugs and making trillions and trillions of dollars? Also, unaliving people at the same time, but there's a fund for that they set aside, so it's not a big deal. Who do you think benefits from this? Could it possibly be the pharmaceutical companies that make trillions of dollars making things for us that the ostriches have done on their own? It's pretty obvious to me what's going on. But what do I know? I'm just a burger flipper. And I gotta get to bed. Because I gotta get up and make cinnamon buns in the morning. I haven't made cinnamon buns for like a week and a half, and people are starting to get angry at me. So I guess I'm going to make a batch of cinnamon buns tomorrow morning at the Whistle Stop Cafe in Muir, Alberta. Then I'm going to head to Universal Ostrich Farms. I hear the weather's great there. Have a great evening. Yes. What sound does an ostrich make? Do they make sounds? I guess I'll find out.